You are now listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
This is Lost and Rewound, and my name is Alon.
And my name is Jimmy, and we are your esteemed hosts today.
If you want to donate any money to help us keep going with financial ease, you can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge or go to radiofreebrooklyn.com/LAR and sponsor us directly.
And now?
Time to get super embarrassed with us.
Let's do it.
Welcome again to another edition of Lost and Rewound here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is the show where we get to dive into the world of tapes, and all sorts of tapes.
Tapes. We need them.
We need them, and we want to hear them now.
So we're talking tapes. If you have tapes collecting dust in the garage, you know, I'm talking about you were in a little garage band when you were a kid, and you've never listened to that tape since.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 20 years.
Yep.
It still plays, man. Trust me. We want to hear it.
Well, let's just say that if you have not heard it in a while, it's very important to make sure that it does play, because sometimes these tapes, they deteriorate, and we don't want to find you in a position where you're losing all the audio before you even get a chance to hear it.
Where you're losing a part of yourself.
It happens, man.
It does happen.
Oh, I have some nightmarish stories I can attest to.
Trying to get the tape back in, spin the little wheels and stuff.
Man, let me tell you, microcassette recorder, okay? Like, I have a microcassette recorder, and I have all these tapes, like, when I was doing radio in college, and I had these drops. And I had, you know, the drops is what, like, for example, Questlove came to the campus to play with the Roots, and I asked him to do a station ID. So, like the one that Mike Doty has here for Radio Free Brooklyn, I asked Questlove to do a drop for City Rhythms on WICV, and he did that. But I recorded on microcassette, and there's no way I can get it, because at least if I can find another microcassette recorder. But in the meantime, I'm SOL.
I know what you mean. It is a lost format. I have actually a bunch of video on micro DVDs, and the same way, like, I have nothing that can play them.
You were gone these last 2 weeks, but you had a very specific reason for each one.
I was gone. This was not hiatus number two. A few people out there were thinking, great, we lost him. Lost him a goddamn get. He's gone forever, part two. What I had, and it comes from this voice, it's a stress to speak like so cool all the time.
Sometimes that cool voice needs a break.
It does. I'm like still recovering actually from it. I've been very phlegmy for a week. I lost my voice last week.
Goodness.
And I actually, I don't get paid for this. I love it. This is, again, a passion project.
It's all good.
It is what it is. But my other job, which is, again, a tour guide, I get paid to speak. So I had to rest it. I was dying, and I needed that cash.
Hey, it was your birthday recently, too.
It was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
You sick fool.
I know, right? I turned the big 2-8, which means that I survived the big 2-7. Mm-hmm. I'm alive.
You are alive.
I'm alive.
Live and jiving. And you have a reason for not being here last week for the show, because you were going to see Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
Your dad got you, like, surprise tickets?
My dad got me surprise tickets to go see Flight of the Conchords. If anybody doesn't know them, they are a New Zealand joke folk duo, rather.
I have never heard of them.
Are you really haven't heard of them?
No.
I was like, are you serious, bro? You seem like a Flight of the Conchords dude.
You're very educational to our very educated audience.
I'm trying to let the people know. And if you didn't know, New Zealand is a country.
Yes, it is.
Where they filmed Lord of the Rings. That is the most famous thing that's happened there.
The result, I should say, of you not being here last week, at least, was me going to my own devices and playing the first part of The Wizard of Zone, which was the most insane thing I've ever done. And nice. To this day, I will never forget my mom calling me like an hour or two after because she listens to the show because she's my mother and she's awesome. And the first thing out of her mouth when she called me was, "You're insane. You are insane." So I've done my job. I've made my mom proud.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, we get to keep each other sane by having this classic banter that we do.
Yes.
But if it was just one of us in a room here, I don't know how the other hosts on this channel do it.
Oh, I don't know.
There's a lot of guys that do, you know, shows by themselves, man. I feel like that can drive you a little noodly.
There's many a story I could tell about being in the studio, a studio, at a really late time, being completely at wit's end without somebody to tell me, "Alon, no." But that's what happens when you're doing a radio show at 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
That's the way, dude. That is the way.
You know, in radio, I met a lot of people over at Ithaca College, and one of them is a guest on this show today that we're going to be getting to in a little bit. Her name is Angel Yao, and stay tuned. We'll be back in a quick second with that interview. Angel Yao is a Queens-based storyteller, sketch comedian, and filmmaker. She's been on Risk, Mortified, she's done UCB, and she's also been in the Seattle Sketch Fest, North Carolina Comedy Arts Festival, New York City Underground Festival, SoloCom. She has been all over. She also happens to be the co-creator and co-curator of VHS Presents, a show that I have been blessed to be a part of, more or less Lost and Rewound's videotape cousin. Angel Yao, thanks so much for being on Lost and Rewound.
Welcome.
Hey.
You have found some old tapes. I have to ask you, because it seems apparent that with all that I know of you, with being somebody who has archived so many videos, how hard was it to really truly find audio back at home?
I knew specifically certain audio tapes that exist. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a little bit harder to find because it's not really labeled, all the audio tapes. And so a bunch of the tapes were like just songs that were recorded off the radio. I think that was the majority of the tapes I found.
What were you listening to on the radio? Or what was the
station? Well, it wasn't
stations?
Even my radio song. It's like my parents. Yeah, that was like Chinese songs.
Oh, really? That was like a very popular thing. My dad told me that in the old days, you know, before you had home video and home cassettes and stuff like that, and mm-hmm. you wanted to listen to music, you know, and you didn't want to buy the album, you just got your tape recorder. You didn't tape off the radio with like a built-in tape deck. You literally like would put the tape deck to the radio and hold it there
for the quality
for the terrible. Exactly for the entirety of the song.
Yeah, and I remember like just like whenever mixtapes, and I try to cut whenever the DJ would talk, I try to like time it so I don't catch the DJ talking. And I get so mad when like they would talk over, you know, as it's about to
end.
Yeah,
is it fading?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
But you must like, you know, have a special place in your heart for the DJs because we're on the radio right now.
So when we went to college together, Angel, because you and I went to Ithaca, and I did WICB and you did VIC.
WICB and VIC, video and radio, for our people out there and myself, because I got no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, no. Why don't you explain it, Angel? You were definitely a communications gal.
I guess the biggest difference is WICB was the actual radio, and VIC was more of internet radio.
Oh, okay.
And I'm guessing I feel like I did VIC because it was easier or like more fun.
Less pressure.
We try to not.
Yeah, you tell me your side.
We try to not make the distinction here.
Well, the thing was is that both stations were streaming live on the web. The difference with VIC was that it was a little more specific in terms of the format. I think the hip-hop right. lived on ICB, and then VIC strictly stayed within the sort of the alternative rock spectrum. Yes?
Yeah, we had some people at like certain shows that they could do.
Yeah.
So they had more power of picking the songs they want to play. I did the general, I guess the general... I think I was able to pick maybe 25% of the songs, or 75% of the songs. and then there's like either 25 or 75% of the songs that needed to be played.
You went to school for film.
Right.
What made radio such a draw to you?
I think I definitely did radio throughout college. And I'd even do, like, TV until maybe later on college.
When?
I want to say, I started, but like, I wasn't, like, on camera until maybe sophomore or junior year.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely started with the radio freshman year until senior year, I guess, or whatever. I think it was starting with the high school stuff. I got really obsessive. I like singing, but I know I'm not, like, a natural singer. So, like, it's one of the hobbies or after-school things I do as a lonely kid. It's just, like, singing along to songs and recording myself and then just hearing it back and feeling disappointed, but then trying again until I liked how I sounded.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so with DJing, I felt like I had a better voice than I give myself credit for. And I guess I was just trying to show myself that I could speak with confidence or speak clearly.
Sure.
Because a lot of times I murmur all the time and I mumble when I like have conversations with people. So I think that's why I wanted to DJ.
It was a format of which you were able to instill confidence in your presentation, your speaking ability, by being the only person in the room so that nobody else, if they were hearing you, then great, but if they weren't, then at least you were having the practice of doing it to an empty audience.
Yeah, and I think I always like doing things privately, I guess. So if, let's say, if I DJed with a crowd, I think that probably would affect the way I speak or the way mm-hmm. I act. But just knowing that I'm there by myself and maybe there's like one or two live listeners, then, you know, that's fine. But it's just knowing that the pressure of entertaining like a crowd is kind of off, even mm-hmm. though you kind of know there is a crowd, but you just don't see them.
I definitely know what you mean, because I do a lot of live performance, and I suppose, I really have no idea who listens to this show. People tell me they're going to listen.
My mom,
who knows
I told
do.
You.
Your
my
mother's
mom
listening.
Listens, okay.
I'm sure there's many grandmas that listen to the show. I tell my tourists. I promote this show on all my tours now.
That's
and I
great.
Tell my tourists to listen, but I don't really, you can't really tell. I'm just in this room, this hot room with Alon. So I know what you mean. It's like the pressure of how am I doing is not, you don't feel it directly because you can't you can't see the reactions. People are reacting, but it's in the ether somewhere. It's not, you know, it's not right there. Plus, when you do, for instance, performance in a dark room and you can't see the audience, it's much easier than when they're looking right at you and it's mm-hmm. bright and you really can tell.
How long have you been performing improv and comedy? Was it something you did while you were in college, or did you do it more when you got to New York? Or back to New York, I should say, from college, since you are from here.
I started, like, senior year of high school, and it wasn't even in my high school, but I worked at an art museum for my senior year, and it was, like, a youth program kind of thing. So we would meet twice a week. So it's kind of like an internship, a youth program, an education thing. And they had a talent show at the end of the year, and I didn't have any talents because I'm like, I don't know what to do. And then I kind of jokingly said out loud that I would do like stand-up, but then I kept thinking about it, and then I was like, I'm going to do it because That's something unexpected for me. So my set, it was like me playing off my nervousness and my shyness. And then it was me reading my diary, which was like a fake diary, like a joke diary. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the set. And then I recorded like an inner monologue that would play before, right as I stand up there, my inner monologue would play and then people would hear my thoughts. So that was like my very first set. And everyone liked it and everyone was surprised by it. So then I went into college knowing that I do want it to pursue more of the comedy and performing and stuff like that.
Clearly, you had the interest in bringing an audience your love of self-reflection. And I mean, it's a little unfair because I'm asking you these things objectively because there's an audience that doesn't necessarily know your name, and they should know your name. But one thing I've noticed on my own personal experiences working with you, Angel, is that you have such a way of allowing the audience to come into your world as if you are the only person in the room and everybody is there just to sort of watch you, sort of as if you are there and you know that they're there, but you're treating the experience as if there is only you there and you're performing it as if you are trying to impress yourself and make sure that you're impressed. And what it does is it creates like this amazing force field that allows you to come on stage without any inhibitions, without any nerves at all. Like you go up there and you're you. And I think that's a really special thing, is just to be able to be yourself and not feel like you have to put on a show when you go up on stage.
Yeah, thank you, first of all. But yeah, I think because I'm not a natural performer, or like someone that would just know what to say when they're on a spot, in a regular world or society, I just don't command the room, but I still really like being the center of attention in some way, but I like it when I have control of it. With my comedy, I use that nervousness and that shyness to have it kind of be my character. So then, yeah, in a way that I'll never be nervous, because that's part of my act or part of my character, so that nervousness wouldn't, like, hinder the performance. So that's just my roundabout way to overcome it, I guess, whenever I perform.
Yeah, because personally I do stand up as well, and I know exactly what you mean. There's a big thing as far as the audience not wanting to feel intimidated by the performer. They want to be on your side, and for me especially, I have a lot of problem that my voice is intimidating. So yeah, it's just one of those things where I come on stage and people, it takes them like a few minutes to realize that it's reality, that I really sound like this, and I can see I can see it on their face, and they're just like, well, why is this happening? And then eventually they'll go, okay, he sounds like this. And if I don't do like opener jokes talking about it, it takes me like a while just to break that wall down. Even with my tours, the same way, my tourists will look at me like, what? Like, it takes 30 minutes. And then they're like, okay, now it's cool. But like Alon said, this idea that people want to feel familiar with you. They want to feel like they're on the inside of the joke, that they're not from the outside, like, looking in. You know, they want to be right there. Uh-huh. So I think that if there's anything where you feel like you're high and mighty or you're on a pedestal, they're going to hate you, you know? So you have to, in a way, break yourself down, you know, just so that they can, especially, like you say, that in that idea of, like, having a nervous character, immediately people get on board because there's nothing that is threatening about a nervous person, you know? So they're like, cool, funny, I love it, you know? That's why I tell people, like, if I was heavy set, I go, man, that would be the end to comedy, because people immediately love fat guys, man. It's just, they're so funny, you know?
It's true.
It's a natural thing.
It's so true.
It is. They're just likable. Just, like, naturally likable. People don't like skinny people, like, generally.
Angel, I must ask you, the tape that you provided to me of you singing along to songs, was that the radio, or were you singing along to karaoke tracks?
It's either I'm playing it off just like a CD player, mm-hmm. like just the album,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just singing, like, maybe I lower the music a little bit and I'm singing over it.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some karaoke tricks.
There seems like there's some songs that were radio, but there were, but as I continued listening before the taping, I realized that some of these songs did not sound exactly like the way they were on the radio, so it piqued my interest a little bit.
Yeah, it's either CDs or stuff I downloaded often, but that's probably when, I don't even think Napster, maybe it was Napster, remember that?
You were in high school, right?
So it just, like, takes forever to download one song.
Well, we're on the same age, and it was high school, so chances are you more than likely did use Napster. How old were you when you were making this tape?
So probably, like, 15, 16.
Yeah, let's take a listen to a 15, 16-year-old Angel singing along. I don't actually know which song this is going to be because I recorded the whole thing. Is there anything you want to say?
I
didn't
warrant, like, I can't sing, so that's
the warning. This is the warning, people out there. People out there in Radio Land. Angel just said, I can't sing. So, play it!
Me the meal and threw it up on Sunday night. Got a lot of things to learn. Said I would and I believe in one day before my heart starts to burn. So what's the matter with you? Sing me something new. Don't you know the cold and wind and rain don't know. They only seem to come and go away. Time flies, nobody knows the way it's gonna be. Stand by me, nobody knows the way it's gonna be. Stand by me, nobody knows, nobody knows. Take me with you. I'm tired of talking on my phone. There is one thing I could never give you. My heart could never be your home. So what's the matter with you? Sing me something new. Don't you know that cold and wind and rain don't know? They only seem to go away. Stand by me. Nobody knows the way it's gonna be. I got a little bit of hope, like a soap opera. Somebody push me through the door. I'm sleeping on the floor. 31 flavors, listen to the music through the wall. At the every time fall. From the light of Easter, God, I want to leave some. So much for the late night. Cause the moon's been, and it's cold inside. Just like that thing, you can hear the song. I'm not like a little thing going next to your body. All I want to do is stay the bird.
Sorry, you were saying?
Yes, was that the same song? Was that a different song?
I think it was two songs.
No, right? That was totally two different songs. The second song was there. It was that second song was a little bit of the Better Than Ezra, Extraordinary. I do not know what that first song is, but I guess
the first song is an Oasis song.
That does sound like Oasis.
Stand By Me.
But I have to say, the thing that really brought me back was the AOL Instant Messenger sound effects that were playing in the
background.
Oh, my
God. That was priceless, Angel.
I mean, it was funny because I definitely recognized that. But the one that really got me was the door opening. Yeah, that door opening. I was like, oh, my God, someone just came online. I hope it's someone cool because I want to talk to them.
Set the scene for us. You are playing these songs on a CD player then, or you're playing it on the computer. And
yeah,
you're
definitely on the computer.
And you're okay. and you're you're on AIM and you're aiming people, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm like one of those kids that was like on AOL all the time.
God, so sure. Moment I went home, I was on that thing all night.
It's and the way it was.
You would click on every one of your good friends, and you would be aim. You would message with them mindless nothing for hours. I would have like 10 messages open. Yeah. You wouldn't be talking about anything.
Again, like I wasn't social at all, so this was my only way of being social.
It's really silly because you know what that really brought me back to? It makes me feel pathetic, but I feel like it's not, but it also just makes me feel bad. But like, I remember I used to not have the courage to talk to girls and like tell them how I felt when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would like
you would ask girls out on Insta Messenger.
I would ask them for
you
their
you were telling
for
us about
aim.
That one time.
Yeah.
I remember
and,
that.
Because I wouldn't ask them out. It would be like that whole, you know, bullshit kid thing of like, I like you. Do you like me? And they'd be like, yeah, I like you too. And you'd be like, wow, you really like me? And
kissy
like,
face emoticon!
Yeah, I like you. And you'd be like, cool.
And
like, yeah, exactly. Like, what do I do with this information that we both like each other? Nothing. Like, I remember that I would see them in person after we'd confessed our love over the internet. And it would be the same awkward conversation in person.
Yeah.
Hi.
Angel Liao gets back from school. She records herself singing along songs while she's chatting with her friends on Instant Messenger. That's a perfect scene.
And
that's
like having people, and they know.
It's a little
some
slice.
Some of them respond, some of them don't, and then.
Do you remember the excitement of seeing someone come on AO1's to Messenger that like you really wanted to talk to?
I am them right away. I have to wait, you know, because that's too desperate. So you're like waiting a few minutes.
Yeah, right.
Like,
well,
okay.
Well, hey, there was a problem with that though, because if you waited. You like
they
you
might
know
they might go off.
They might go off. Exactly,
it's true.
Like you had the one friend who never went on Instant Messenger, and then you saw them come on, and you're like, either I get it on it now, or they're gonna go.
No, but she's right. You don't want to sound desperate.
So
you
then
know
you
what?
Wait.
But then you wait.
This is reminding me too. So I would leave AO on. I'd be so nervous to step away from the computer in case someone IMs me and I don't. Because usually I'm the one that IMs them, but if in a rare occasion that someone IMs me and I don't respond right away, I feel like I would feel like a jerk. So whenever I take a shower, I would get so nervous.
No, but don't
I
remember
take
you
really
could,
quick showers just so
but you could
I'm
leave
sure
the,
I'm like back in front of my computer.
You could leave the away message, right?
Mm, yeah, why didn't you just walk away
a
message?
That wasn't a thing to like later.
I wish that my phone had away messages. And people would text me and I'd just be like, and my away message would say, I'm never going to text you back. I'm here, but I'm not texting you back. You know, I didn't step away from my phone, obviously. It's in my pocket, but that's not going to happen.
I used Instant Messenger a lot in college. That was my thing. My impression of Instant Messenger was it was more or less like no different than a message board where, you know, leave me messages so that when I come back, I'll have something to come back to. Aww. Bye. I'm going to class.
did you ever use...
Yeah, I think it became that too, in a way.
Did you ever use Trillium?
What? You're getting too obscure.
You didn't use Trillium?
He's getting too obscure for you.
Trillium was like, it fused all of the different AIM things.
Oh, I see. I do know what you're talking about
so
now.
So it's like you could do like Yahoo Messenger.
Yeah.
ICQ and all that.
It was like, I... What was it? ICQ.
I think I actually may have used this at one point. That I think about
so
it.
So you kind of felt like you were like an I am baller. If you had trillions, you were a baller.
Well, we have more clips of non-sing nature, but I still want to hear a little bit of you singing. So
Mas.
This was the first thing I heard when I played the tape, and it's wonderful.
It's not so blessed. Could be crying out murder, and I just laugh and get away with it too, like you do. If I was beautiful like you, I would never be at fault. I would walk around and learn just the raindrops, rain traffic to a halt.
Love the fact that you have that song on there, because as I said, it was the first song that comes up when I play the tape, and it's a totally obscure Canadian group. In the former iteration of Lost and Rewound, we had a B-sides, we call it, where we couldn't cover mixtapes, and Joy Drop Beautiful was on there, and I honestly thought it was just like a yeah, right? I know the song because it was on my alternative radio too when I was growing up. So I thought it was just super awesome, like, to hear it.
Yeah.
I imagine it was on the radio probably on like K-Rock or whatever the hell the station was back then.
K-Rock.
I got for this one. I remember buying like a bunch of CDs on eBay. I'll say that I wasn't really, like, a music person. I think because my parents didn't really listen to, like, American music or any music, and I didn't really listen to the radio until later on in life. Right before junior high is when I really started to know what music is.
Right. So then, you did it sort of on your own.
So I remember buying, like, just going on eBay and looking for really cheap CDs, and I think this was one of the CDs. It was just like 6 CDs, and I didn't know any of the bands. I looked at the CD cover, and it looked cool. So yep. I thought, oh, maybe these are cool bands. So yeah, I think that's how I know Joy Drop.
That's so funny.
I'm wondering though, you know, what inspired you to record yourself singing these songs? There must have been some moment where you were like, I need this.
It was just to gain confidence and to, like, be able to tell yourself that you can sing okay?
Yeah, I think so. And I still do this now as, like, a 30-year-old. Whenever I get a chance to be, like, completely alone in the house, and, you know, when you're alone, like, you would only do things that you can't do well, someone, or you won't do, like, something that might embarrass you, and even if, like, your family is, or your husband is there, you just there's some things you need to do for yourself. And it's always have been singing, because I'm always so not confident about my singing, but I, you know, like, secretly, like, when I was little, and I always wanted to be, like, a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I still do now. But
I like it, though. That's the thing. Is it's
so whenever
you were
get
putting
a chance,
in work.
Like,
that's
when
the deal.
I'm completely alone, I would just, like, find the songs I like, look up the lyrics, and then, like, sing along to it, and, like, really learn the song too. So if something, I don't know, if whatever event that I have to sing something on the spot, I'll know what song to sing. This reminded me of something else. When, like, after college, I was living with three other people, and this was when Rock Band was popular.
Oh, sure.
And so that was kind of my... It was great, because I think I played the drums the best in that game.
That was always my jam. Playing the drums was always my favorite.
It was the best. It was by far the most fun.
And it was like karaoke, so you don't really have to learn the lyrics. So whenever there's a moment where and I'm by myself, I would play a Rock Band, and I would play the drums. We didn't have a mic stand. We just had, like, the mic that came with the game.
You became Phil Collins.
And I would kind of, like, drape it over my neck and sing and play the drums at the same time. Like, I would imagine that I was in a concert, like a stage or something.
That just makes my heart so happy. You did, like, a Dave Grohl or a Phil Collins, or just, like, you became the drummer and impresario of the group. It's so great.
I used to do the vocals on Rock Band, but I felt like it was bullshit.
Right. You can't take any liberties, because if you did take any liberties with the singing, it would give you a poor percentage score. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, you have to get the falsetto. You have
that's
to get the holding the notes correct.
That's what I used to
exactly.
do. I used to try to sing it in my voice, and I would just get it all wrong. So I had to just do these awful, like you say, awful falsettos to try to hit the note of whatever note they wanted me to hit. And it was like, I'm like cracking my voice, and like it sounded awful. And then people were like, why does it sound so bad? And I'm like, I'm trying to get the good score. This game doesn't know what's actually good. Can't this game auto-tune me? Like, what's the deal here?
Singing's clearly been something that you have always been interested in, obviously. I mean, between the karaoke and then this sort of this secret radio sing-along project that you had going while typing on Instant Messenger. And from the sounds of the tape that you provided me of an even earlier era in your life, when we were chatting about this months ago, about a tape when your sister was born, and the tape is in mostly Cantonese, you actually have in this tape more than just, you know, baby sounds. It's actually you singing to your sister. Is that correct?
I guess so. I didn't really listen to anything.
But allow us to jog your memory.
Let's do it.
Do re mi. Do a di a female di. Ray a drop a going song. Me my name I call myself. Far a long, long way to one door. I need to put a fret tea. I drink red and fret.
Yeah.
I know follow songs, and I bring her back to the Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, so, do. Archer, Michael, roll your boat ashore. Michael, roll your boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael, roll your boat ashore. Michael, roll your boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael, roll your boat ashore. Hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sail. Hallelujah. Sister, help to trim the sail. Hallelujah. Michael, row your boat ashore. Hallelujah. Michael, row your boat ashore. Hallelujah.
Yay.
This was a tape when your sister was born, and how old were you?
I guess I was 7, because we're 7 years apart.
Okay.
So 7.
You were seven years old when you were singing. What is the song that was just being sung? I mean, I know
Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore.
Yeah.
You never heard that song?
I don't know if that was a religious. It's like a church song.
I must admit, I am not familiar with this church song called "I Will Row Your Boat."
Dude, you gotta learn.
I gotta learn.
Get some learning.
I gotta get with it with the hymns, evidently.
We didn't go to church. I don't know where that song came from.
You didn't go to church. You didn't.
So somebody came and was warping your child mind then. If you didn't go to church, they were coming and just feeding you religious songs.
Yeah, there was a song. It's probably from there. It's probably a religious songbook, and my parents didn't realize.
It would have been pretty great if all of a sudden you started breaking out and you were like, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. You're like, where did she get these songs from?
Some perfect little mind of a child.
Sing the most obscure Kwanzaa song. If there's a Kwanzaa song out there, we want to know what it is.
Your parents didn't listen to much of the Western music, so because they didn't play it for you, you kind of had to learn on your own. So you must have heard this somewhere. Did your parents invest in to their children some kind of like, or you know, an English book of songs for children kind of thing?
Yeah, I think it's I remember there was like a cassette tape of children's songs with like a song book that you sing along to.
That's the jam right there. That's the joint.
And we did have like a laser disc for karaoke.
What?
Yeah. We had a karaoke machine that it was like the big laser disc. And it was all, like, Chinese songs, and then there was one children laser disc with all children's songs, and then I think there were two or three, like, 80s or 70s English songs.
This clip comes from the same tape of the clip that we heard before, and I believe I had teased a little bit about the fact that it is in a language that we do not understand, and I'm very excited because you can tell me what your parents are saying.
I've been working on the radio all night and the day. Can you hear the whistle blowing? Rising up in the morn. Can you hear Captain shouting? Knock, oh, your horn.
A B C A B C C E F
F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z. Now I know my ABC. Next time, won't you sing with me? My turn. I got turn. All my bags are packed. I like you to go. I'm standing here outside the door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye. I'm leaving. No. But the dawn is breaking my heart. It's early morning. The taxi's waiting. It's holding his horn. Daisy, give me your hands or two. I have crazy and I'm enough of you. You can be the childish marriage I can before the carriage. But you look sweet in the panacea and a bicycle built for two. In the summer, good old time. In the summer, good old time. In the summer, good old time. Getting through my baby shame with your baby mine. She hold her hands and you hold hers. And that's a very good sign. And that she your tootsie wootsie in the good old summer time.
Okay, hold on.
The end.
Oh my goodness. You could not stop singing at all, could you?
I guess not. I didn't even know I knew those songs when I was little.
So, yeah. We, translation, please. Fill in some of those blanks.
So my dad was saying, 23 years from now, you're going to be on a podcast. Like he said in Chinese.
What a prophet. What could he say?
So my dad just kept saying, this is for you. And my sister's Chinese name is Ying Ying. And my Chinese name is Ching Ching. So you might hear that phrase there and here. So he just kept saying that this tape is for my sister. And they're just doing, you know, the baby stuff, like, are you being a good girl to my sister? And then, yeah, that's pretty much.
Dad had some good good sound effects too. He knows how to make a baby smile and laugh with all the different little clicks and bells and whistles he was doing. And then you had just this incredible array of Western music knowledge that clearly must have stemmed from those books on tape. But I mean, what you said you were seven, and I can't think of any song that I knew that well when I was 7 years old. You were totally, like, without even missing a beat, doing the Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah, I don't know how. I really don't remember how. Like, so, I know my mom had a guitar book, and those are, like, a lot of the 70s.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Maybe some 80s. I don't know if I learned it from... I have no idea. I'm surprising myself.
No, it's amazing, the songs that you know and that you enjoy when you're a kid like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, because I don't think I read it. Like, I don't think I knew how to read.
I used to sing. I don't know if I ever mentioned this on this program before, but it's going to be out there in the reaches of audio space. I used to sing the songs from The Lion King. The Lion Sleeps Tonight. That was my jam.
Wait, the Lion Sleeps Tonight wasn't in The Lion King, though, was it?
It wasn't actually, I think, in the film, but it was, like, on the soundtrack.
Was it?
And Elton John sang it.
All right, makes sense.
You know, it was all over TV when the movie came out.
Yeah.
So I definitely would... I remember my mother telling me that I used to sing, like, The Lion Sleeps Tonight all the time as a little kid. And she said it was very cute, and I was like... Did I dress like Elton John? Was I singing The Bitches Back, like, right after that?
The only memory I have of songs that I sang when I was younger, when I was 8 years old, when we had, you know, very few albums. I've talked about this many a time, that there was very little music in the house when I was, before I was 8 years old, just because there was no music until my parents finally had the money to scrounge up and buy a CD stereo system, and we had Billy Joel's Greatest Hits and R.E.M.'s Out of Time record, and so those two albums I was familiarized with because they were pop records, and I had dance routines. So we were talking before about how there's this like sense of confidence that you could be inside a private room and you can sing, and no one's gonna watch, and you can, you know, be able to do that and instill that confidence in you. For me, it was always dancing. So you put me, even as a 30-some-odd-year-old man, I will, in a room like I did today, I will just dance by myself. Anybody who knows me knows I, you know, when I'm out in the world and in public and karaoke notwithstanding, I am a dancing machine.
So this is the true Danziger zone.
Yes.
Yo, the Danziger zone.
They call me Dance-a-thon alone. And I the Dance-a-thon is not a public thing. It is honestly like, even in my bedroom, I will just, if I hear a song that just makes me really happy, I will just dance. And so Billy Joel, like, I don't know, Allentown, or like Just the Way You Are, or, you know, what's Tell Her About It. I remember I would just like jump on the couch. I would, you know, be all over the living room, and I would go all out. It was, and like Near Wild Heaven by R.E.M., I would get all epic and just like sing as if I was singing to the heavens kind of thing. And it was very, very inspiring work.
It's weird. This is the first time I connected in my mind that Dance-a-thon-a-lon involves your name. People just used to call you that. This is like when I first met Alon. I'm pretty sure I knew the name Dance-a-thon-a-lon before I knew your real name. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, there I go, that's Dance-a-thon-a-lon. To me, I just conjoined that word as your name was Dance-a-thon-a-lon, not the fact that Alon is.
When Angel first met me, she probably knew that my DJ name was Hip Hop Anonymous.
Hmm. Hip Hop?
No.
Hip Hop Anonymous?
Nope. That was not confirmed.
She said,
So 7-year-old Angel, cognizant of the music that her mother's guitar book had to offer and being able to sing these songs, after hearing these for the first time, really, truly, and getting a chance to listen to them, what thoughts come into your head?
I was so confident. I feel like I've lost that, like, energy. I guess we all do.
Definitely.
I've always figured to myself, like, I knew, you know, I had a lot of fun whenever I'm by myself. And then when I go to school, I kind of shut down. I just didn't realize there's so much energy that I had inside of me.
You can get back there. You can rediscover that magic. Don't worry. Start singing. Like, keep singing. Keep singing those songs.
As I'm going older and older.
Well, we are all dying. It's true. No, we all are dying very, very slowly. And I think maybe part of the reason why I keep biting at the kneecaps of my childhood is because I don't want to stop being that fearless.
Biting at the kneecaps? That's a new one.
The fact that you could be so fearless at a young age and then continue finding a way to tap into that as you get older so that you're remaining just spontaneous is really an important quality to never forget.
Yeah, I realize I still record myself over and over, and now it feels more like a narcissistic thing. I still, like, just to know what other people are hearing, I would record myself and, like, listen to it.
What inspired you to start VHS Presents? Was there in that some sort of similar aesthetic of finding a way to get people to be as fearless as you?
I think one of the theories and, like, goals I've had maybe since college was knowing that when you're younger, you learn these, like, really important lessons. And you don't realize they're important. They seem like minor or small, but then it really affects who you become and who you are now. Because I do storytelling a lot, and I always try to find, my first memories of things, and then trying to figure out why that memory is still in my head, and why that memory probably seems like a little thing, but there's a bigger lesson within it. So I always encourage people to just look back and see what you remember. And I feel like a lot of people don't like to look in the past, because sometimes it is shameful or embarrassing. I feel like that's the stuff that kind of makes who you are, and you should embrace it. And I feel like it does help you know what your original goal in life is, to stick with that and not have adulthood just bury you,
You did just have VHS Presents this past Saturday, and is there going to be a VHS Presents next month, or when will the next VHS Presents be, and what could we expect from that?
The next one should be probably September. We're always the fourth Saturday of each month,
mm-hmm.
So whatever that fourth Saturday is in
Excellent.
September. So now we have rotating hosts, so we have five of us, so we're going to try to have all the hosts.
Including me.
Do the kick off the show.
Yay!
And also, we're trying to do the thing where we have themes for each show.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll be more fun to see a show with just dance recitals or a show with just plays. So we're trying to organize that for the upcoming shows.
Well, thank you so much for bringing us on this journey and showing us that it's all right to go back and to get embarrassed. That's what it's all about.
Angel Yao on Lost and Rewound, thanks so much for being here. And
thank you. And
to all our listeners, or just our listener, hi mom. we thank you for joining us on this go around. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of this ridiculous journey that we do go on. And hopefully you were inspired just as much as we were this week.
As again, every Thursday at 3 p.m. right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Jimmy Hoffman.
This is Alon Danziger.
And Angel Yao. And again, we are Lost and Rewound.
Cheers.
Happy birthday, dear April. Happy birthday to you. Yay, blow the candle. Good. What do you wish?
I wish, I don't know.
Full house. Funny song video, funny song people. Charlie and Charlie by the bell. Kelly Zach Slater. Jesse Screech Lisa. Uncle Goo, Uncle Goo. You so cute, Uncle Goo, cute. Bye-bye.